I'm Olivia.
And I'm Josh.
And welcome to our Monsters, Masks, and Mommy Issues podcast.
Each week, we'll review both classic and underground horror films from the 1950s and beyond.
We'll also share our thoughts and some interesting facts about each film, as well as some controversial theories that have plagued fans for decades.
So lock all your doors.
Count all your kitchen knives.
And join us as we take a wrong turn into horror cinema. Warning, these episodes contain spoilers.
Hello and welcome back. We're excited to have you guys here today. We are just a couple days from Christmas. Today is December 18th. I never actually give the date, but I probably should.
That's a good idea, yeah, to do that.
Welcome back to Monsters, Masks, and Mommy Issues. Happy Friday, Josh.
Happy Friday, Olivia.
And today, I'm going to let you introduce the film that we're reviewing.
Okay, sounds good. So the film that we are reviewing this week is called Bloody Birthday. And it goes by the tagline of "The Nightmare Begins with the Kids Next Door." And it was released on April 28th, 1981. It was directed by Ed Hunt. So I'm going to run through the IMDb synopsis. And it says, three children are born at the height of an eclipse of the sun. 10 years later, they begin to murder the people around them, even their family members. So what do you think of that?
I think that sums it up.
Pretty good. And then I have the Amazon Prime synopsis, which is a little bit more detailed.
And that's what we watched.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. So that one says, three babies are born in the same hospital at the peak of a solar eclipse. 10 years later, these youngsters begin a killing spree of stranglings, shootings, stabbings, beatings, and beyond. Can the town's grown-ups stop these serial killers before their blood-soaked birthday bash?
I like that. And, you know, it just made me think, why did it happen to these three kids at this hospital? Did it happen all over the country?
That's a good question.
I just thought of that when you read that. I never even thought why at this hospital on that day. And if so, there must have been many other babies born that day, but it was that solar eclipse.
Yeah. Yep.
How long did they, we should look that up. How long do they normally last? Because
it was a solar eclipse?
Yeah.
That's another good question. I mean, I would guess I think it's just an evening.
So, but you know what? We'll have to get details of when, how often babies are born. Solar eclipse. Now, that's obviously looking really deep into it, but right. It does beg the question, why at this moment?
Well, I'm pretty sure a baby's born like every, I think it's like a minute and 30 seconds or something like that. So quite often.
We'll have to refilm it so we sound very intelligent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're reviewing the movie, not solar eclipses.
Right. That sounds good. And I didn't know, do you want to start with the movie rubric we're going to be doing?
Sure. Yeah, we can do that.
So we've been rating films and we've been kind of struggling to rate films. We keep saying, oh, you know what? We rated this a 6, but it should be a 5. So we got together and said, let's actually make a rubric and let's talk about how we should rate these movies, what type of categories we should use, and then rate those and then do the average of where this movie should fall on the list. So we'll do it a little bit more scientifically. So,
yep. Do you want me to go through those?
Do you mind?
Sure. Okay. So for rating, we are going to rate the opening title, the script, so the creativity, the characters, and how it fits within the genre, the performances, any camera skills, sound skills, or editing skills, the music, so the movie soundtrack, how the kill scenes are, how suspenseful or horrific the film is, how scary the killer or killers are, if there's a backstory, does it hold up, how is the end scene, and then would you recommend this film for another horror movie buff to watch?
Right, and I think not all movies are going to have all those categories because sometimes it's like non-applicable, right?
Right.
So we'll just use the ones that are most relevant for each film and then hopefully come up with a better consensus so we don't have to keep changing it every episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah. I still stick where I put Bad Ronald. I still think that's a great film.
Yeah, we had that. What did we say that was? Like a 7?
It was a solid
overall?
7, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, that would have, actually a lot of these would have touched on Bad Ronald.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we'll see. I know some won't. Some will. Like, maybe some will be bad because of the camera angles or the sound or the editing or something. So
right.
That's when they'll come into play. Okay, so do you want to move on to some interesting facts?
I sure do.
About the movie? Okay. So, here we go. An early title for the movie was Happy Birthday, but the title was changed to avoid confusion with the 1980 slasher movie Happy Birthday to Me, 1981.
That was a smart choice.
Which was released just some months earlier, I guess.
Because the reason we kept skipping this movie was because we thought it was Happy Birthday to Me.
Yep.
And we'd already seen it. So we're like, oh, no, I don't need to see this. And then we read the description and we're like, we haven't seen this one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a smart move.
Yep. Okay, so the next interesting fact is Steven. Now, do you remember who Steven is in the movie?
So I have to admit, we have only seen this film once. So I'm not going to be as well versed
right.
in the characters as I probably should be. But no, is he the brunette? The one boy who's a brunette?
I thought Steven was the blonde boy out of the three killers. So there was Debbie, who was the girl.
Right.
There was Curtis, who
right.
was
okay,
the boy with
right.
the glasses.
Yeah, so
and
Steven,
then I think Steven was the blonde boy.
Is, I'm just okay. looking on IMDb.
That's what I thought.
Andrew
yep.
Freeman, he is
So
Steven
carries a Close Encounters of the Third Kind lunchbox during the school scenes.
Oh, that's fun.
I thought that was cool.
That is fun.
Yeah. Okay, on to the next. Though Bloody Birthday was left open for a sequel, with Debbie and her mother on the run, the movie failed to be a hit. The sequel never came to blossom,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah,
yeah.
I can understand that. I think it was too scary. The thought that these three kids did all of those murders and
yeah.
manipulated the adults, I could totally understand why people didn't like it, because it left a very uncomfortable feeling.
Right. Well, also, too, I mean, I think if it was missing the other two boys, I don't know how well it would have been, because they got pretty much arrested, right?
True.
So I think the sequel was probably just going to be Debbie, which still could have been scary,
yeah.
but I don't know if it was as scary. Because Curtis was really the main
Curtis
driver.
The
so with him not in the sequel, it would be kind of weird.
And the funny thing is so Steven... I mean, he does kills, too. He doesn't do as many kills as Curtis. At least that we know, because we don't know who killed the couple in the beginning at the cemetery.
Right.
We don't know if maybe it was both of them, but Curtis is the most terrifying character
yeah.
I've ever seen in a mm-hmm. in a movie. He
I know.
Really scares me.
Yeah, for, I think they're turning 10, for a 10-year-old kid. Wow.
Yeah. Pretty scary. That's a good fact.
Yeah, and then I have one last one. Which I just added in because I'm a fan of this artist, so I thought it was interesting. But Billy Jane, who plays Curtis in the film, was born and raised in Flushing, Queens, New York, which is where one of my favorite hip-hop artists, Action Bronson, is from. So I just thought that was pretty cool.
Fun, yeah. Yeah, Curtis, you know what? I could look it up, but he's got one of those faces where I swear we've seen him in other films. Like, I think...
Yeah, I did look up some of the films that he was in. I don't think we've seen many of them. He has one of those faces, I
he
agree,
does.
But I don't think we have seen him before.
You know, he must always be like a supporting role, and that's why like he's not like you've seen him before, but you don't actually know who
yeah.
he is. But he also looked like an adult. I don't know if you noticed that. He had very distinct figures.
He like, did, yep, and his acting was kind of like an adult.
Oh my gosh, he was so like...
So I wonder if they all really were 10 years old in real life.
If they were older, you
think? I wonder if he was at
I
least
think he
older,
was older
because he was
yeah.
like really good.
He was really good. Oh well, that's interesting. So
yeah. Okay. So next, I guess questions. Do you want me to start, or do you want to ask a question?
No, let's start with yours.
Okay. So my question is, how does this film compare to other killer kid movies? For example, The Brood from 1979, The Children from 1980. And Children of the Corn from 1984.
Can you give me that list again?
Sure. So, The Brood.
The Brood. Okay. The Brood. Okay.
The Brood.
Yes.
Yep. The Children.
Mm-hmm.
And then Children of the Corn.
Mm.
So, compared to those, how do you think this one holds up?
You know, I think it holds up actually very well. I was very afraid of Children of the Corn for the longest time. I thought those kids are so creepy, especially not Malachi, but the other one who's like got that weird hat and his face looks like somebody hit him with a sack of quarters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know who he is, but he is so scary. But I would say this one holds up high, but only because of Curtis. So we keep bringing him up, but yeah. I was the most, even with Debbie at the end where it's like, you know, haha, I'm going to be a good little girl from now on. And then you found out she killed this mechanic right before her mom mm-hmm. came and got her. I was just like, oh, this is so funny and campy. Like, this is nothing. Mm-hmm. Curtis gave me chills. And especially when he finally gets Debbie's father's handgun.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of plays with it. And he's super smart. He knows how to do, like, technical things. Like, he knows how to reroute their security system. So in terms of that with the brood. So I guess with Children of the Corn, the brood, and the children.
Mm-hmm.
There, and I mean, I guess it's the same with this one. There's something that's supernatural that's happening. Mm-hmm. So in this case, it's a solar eclipse that causes them to lose empathy mm-hmm. is what we found out. They're born without empathy. So they're serial killers. Well, there's also people who are born without empathy regardless of a solar eclipse. So right. I would actually say this one kind of scales a little bit higher for me.
Yeah. It's almost more realistic.
I think so too. And I, again, that's why I'm going back to the thing. I think that's why it was unpopular.
Yeah, it could be.
How would you say?
I really liked it too. I'm trying to see. Okay, so yeah, so it came out in 1981. So it came out just literally a year after The Children, and I really liked The Children.
I did too. I liked that. And do I think, I still think Children of the Corn is scarier because it's Satan. So
true.
I don't think you get scarier than that in these. Yeah. And he's like possessed at the end, and then remember there's that big like thing that comes up through the cornfield right. and they're like sacrificing people. So I would definitely still say Children of the Corn is the scariest, but
on
I think
a different
this
level,
one's next
yeah.
level.
The thing about this one, though, is, like, you don't know the kids are killers. Like, they act pretty normal mm-hmm. around the adults, mm-hmm. which is scary because, like, with Children of the Corn, the children all look pretty scary, so you could stay away from them.
And they all attack the town at once.
Exactly. So, yeah. like, you know they're bad. You could stay away from them. As far as this movie goes, all Curtis, Debbie, and Steven, like, you wouldn't know that they were killers. You would have no idea. You'd let them in, like, they were let into their, you know, they played with some of the neighbors. They're always let into the house to play. They went to the playground and played. You didn't know they were killers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's pretty scary.
It was really scary. So the scene that really gets me, and I think it was the most scariest, was when, so the neighbor who, oh, is it Beth? I got to get better with the names, but she's the one who, she's kind of putting it together because her best friend was killed and, you know, she's in the, obviously Debbie's dad was killed and then Debbie's sister is killed, mm-hmm. which was her best friend. And this is before Debbie's killed, but she's starting to, I guess she's getting suspicious. Oh, I know why, because she saw the teacher. So they end up killing one of their teachers that they think is really mean. She finds them.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get her name real quick.
Yeah, there's a decent amount of posters that were put out in like different countries when this movie came out.
I think it's Joyce.
Joyce?
Joyce. And her her friend's name is Beverly. So yeah, Joyce. So Curtis has a plan to be like, you know what? Because they think she's starting to get a little suspicious of the three of them. And he says, if everybody thinks she's crazy, nobody will believe her.
Mm-hmm.
So what he does is it's their big birthday. And this is so, there's rat poison on the kitchen table for whatever reason. And there's like three huge cakes because basically everybody in the neighborhood is coming for this, the three of their birthdays because they're all born on the same day.
Yep.
And so they're having like a joint birthday and they have the cakes and he basically, but you don't know this. I mean, I thought he put the poison on the cake.
Because I thought so too.
He looks at it and then he looks at the cake and you're kind of like, oh God, he's going to do something. Well, then the cake gets brought out and everybody starts eating it and it just shows them shoveling cake inside their mouth. And this is kids, this is older mm-hmm. people, this is everybody's eating the cake. And then it shows Curtis using like this, it's that funnel you use for putting frosting on. And he's putting frosting on the cake, but he's making these really weird zigzags all around the cake and he's putting it all over. And Joyce comes in the kitchen. She goes, what are you doing? Why are you messing up the cake? And she kind of takes the cake away from him and she puts it on the table. More people start eating the cake.
Mm-hmm.
And then her friend Beverly's like, can you bring out the other cake? It's like, my God, there's so much cake for these people. But when she gets back, Curtis is really just putting the frosting all over the cake. And then but he has something in his hand. And as soon as she walks in, he immediately puts it behind his body.
Yep.
And she goes, "What do you have? What is that?" And then when she sees it's rat poisoning and she sees that he's put the frosting all over the cake, she goes, "Oh my God, he's poisoned everybody." She runs out, tries to get everybody to stop eating the cake, you know, makes a big scene, tries to say this, you know, Curtis just poisoned everybody. But what he did was he didn't. And he even takes like I think his grandfather does first. He tries the frosting. He's like, "See, there's nothing wrong with it." And then Curtis even takes a little bit of the frosting and eats it. And he's like, "Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about," to make her look crazy. And I'm like, that was terrifying because A, I thought everybody was going to get sick. And B, this kid is the king of manipulation.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying. So.
Yeah. No, it is.
Yeah, that was my favorite scene. Did you have a favorite scene? I mean, it was the scariest scene, but it actually was my favorite scene because I was on the edge of my seat. I thought everybody got poisoned.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guess that was my favorite too. And there was like a bunch of, which was nice about this film is there were a lot of scenes of like a little bit of suspense that lasted just for a few minutes, you know?
Right. They put Timmy in the fridge.
Yeah.
Because again, Timmy's another one who's starting to catch on that something's not right with these three. And they play hide and seek. And he says, "Come on, this is Curtis again." He says, "Come on, Timmy, let's hide in this refrigerator." And Timmy probably watching, what was the show? G.I. Joe. I think there's even a G.I. Joe where like the kids hide in the fridge and the guy's like, "Don't do that. You could die." You know what I mean?
Yep.
So he knew. He says, "No, let's not go in there. That's stupid." And he's like, "No, come on, don't be a wimp." So of course Timmy gets in and Curtis shuts the door, locks it. So Timmy is literally locked in this old refrigerator in the middle of this dump, and they run away. And this is several hours he's stuck in there. He does manage to get out, but I mean, he's starting to lose air. You can tell he's sweating, he's having a hard time breathing, and he's screaming for help and no one's there.
Yep.
So that's really scary stuff.
There's a scene where the kids are driving in an Oldsmobile car in the junkyard and they're chasing after the one girl. That's pretty scary.
Right, Joyce. And he's wearing this cloth mask.
Yeah. Yeah. He looks like Jason from Friday 13th Part 2.
He looked exactly like Jason.
With the sack.
And that's why she doesn't know it's them yet. She thinks it's like a grown man because why would these kids be driving this vehicle?
Yep.
How did they even get it started? But again, it was Curtis because he knew how to jump start a car.
And I even like the scene too where they kill the girl's dad, Debbie's dad.
Yeah. You know, I was going
to
say.
They set it up so that he was supposed to fall down the stairs on a skateboard, but he ended up like not falling. Like he like stepped over the skateboard.
Yeah.
So then the other kid just comes out with a bat and they just beat him.
Yeah, they beat him over the head. And he's like the town sheriff who's investigating the murders that took place right in the beginning. So I'd say, I mean, obviously the beginning scene is the cemetery and it's the couple making out, which is they make out in a cemetery and they decide we don't have enough privacy. So, oh, here's this open grave. Let's jump in and have sex.
Yeah.
Which is just so stupid on its own. But they do that. They get killed and they get buried. But the sheriffs do find them and he's investigating and it starts with him in the classroom and he's asking the kids if they know anything, if they saw anything. And then you find out it's Debbie's dad because she goes, "Well, bye, Daddy." And he's like, you know, "Bye, sweetheart." Not even realize like she was part of it. So
I do really like the which is probably iconic for the movie too, is the bow and arrow scene.
Yes,
that's pretty iconic. Like that's scary, like the girl getting in the eye from a bow and arrow.
Yeah, so that's Beverly, so Debbie's sister. But yeah, no. So what I was going to say, though, is that the movie starts out very scary. It kind of sets the tone with the couple in the... Well, the couple in the cemetery, I feel like you're just kind of like, oh my gosh, how stupid could they be? But then as soon as they kill the dad, that was when I said, ooh, this film's going to go there. Because I think even you were surprised. We were like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
When they hit the dad with the bat and just basically beat him.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. So... Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Are those your questions?
Yeah, they are. I just wanted to make another point, too. Sure. There are some really cool posters for this movie. You know, not all these movies have great posters out there, but this must have been some sort of big hit because there's like a German poster. There's like a Spanish one. If you're interested in artwork and stuff like that, there's definitely some cool Bloody Birthday artwork out there.
Nice. My question for you. So I did have a question about what made this film scary.
Okay.
I think we've kind of covered that, but do you have any other last comments you want to make? Like, why was this film scary? I don't think it was very gory. Like, yeah, okay,
right.
Somebody getting hit with a baseball bat's pretty gory, but it wasn't gory.
No. I mean, again, I think I touched base on this in the beginning. I think what was scary is the kids pretty much had a switch, so they could be these nice little next-door neighbors 1 minute, and then the next minute they could be killing somebody. Mm-hmm. So I think that was the scariest part, is how they could just flip a switch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it took very little for them to get angry.
Right.
That I found very interesting. Like, the teacher who... They asked her, you know, can we not have homework on this day because it's our birthday and everybody's going to be at our party? And she's like, oh, you know, just because it's your birthday doesn't mean you're special. Like, she's not a very nice teacher, but they're like, okay, thank you. And you just knew, oh, you're dead.
She's going to get it. Yeah.
She's going to get it. Very little it takes for them to get upset.
Yep.
Poor Timmy. He just keeps getting attacked by these kids because he knows something's up.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he keeps like going to school, keeps hanging out with them. And I'm like, all right, come on. But and one interesting thing about this movie that I like to point out is the fact that Joyce and Timmy's parents are AWOL. Like, they're
nowhere. On some sort of vacation or something.
But it's like a month-long vacation, and these two kids are by themselves, and they keep saying, Mom and Dad are coming, so we better get the lawn all set. Mom and Dad are coming, so you better stop doing that. They never show up. So I don't know. I don't know who the real victims were of this movie, but poor Joyce had to basically play mother. And there's also this great scene, just for my own amusement. I like Joyce a lot. There's this one film where, or this one scene where her boyfriend, who we find out is in college. So she's dating a college kid, and she's definitely finishing high school.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps saying, oh, you know, when you next year is going to be different because, you know, you're going to be in school, too, and we can hang out more and all this stuff. And she's like, I'm not going to college. She's like, all this has made me think. I mean, really, like, the sheriff died and her best friend gets murdered definitely makes her think. But she goes, I've been thinking, I'm not going to get an education. I'm going to be a journalist.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was such a great line.
It is.
She doesn't need to go to school to be a journalist. It was just, it was really funny. I like Joyce a lot, but I just, that was such an odd scene.
That was pretty odd.
Yeah. So questions I have for you.
Okay.
Were you surprised that the pup didn't get it at the end?
I was surprised, actually.
Pleasantly surprised.
I was.
And that was another thing that kept putting me on edge, because they showed the dog way too much in the film. And you know, in a horror movie, they keep showing the dog
too much.
Like, not the Boogans. What is it?
Boogans.
The Boogans. You know, Tiger gets it.
Tiger gets it.
And he had quite a role. Well, I'm not saying this dog had as big a role, but he was there. He was running around. I kept thinking, oh, these kids are going to poison this dog because they're going to get after Timmy because it's Timmy's dog.
Right.
They never did.
I wonder, that could have been a deleted scene, perhaps?
I was
perhaps?
Just going to say that. It may have been, because I don't actually remember the dog in the rest of the movie.
Right.
No, as far as I know, nothing happened to him, and I'm going to keep thinking that, but I didn't actually see him at the rest of the movie.
Yeah. Or who knows? Maybe that's that weird innocence of them still being 10-year-old children, where they're like, "Oh, we would never hurt a dog," but yeah, we'll kill adults.
Yeah.
You know, it could be that weird innocence where they can flip the switch, where they're like, "Oh no, I wouldn't hurt the dog. I'm just gonna kill these parents."
I know, and these teens who are doing drugs and having sex.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think we said in an earlier episode, just leave the babies dogs alone, you're fine.
Right.
You're okay in our book. So yeah, that surprised me too. So the title of our podcast is Monsters, Masks, and Mommy Issues.
Mm-hmm.
Where does this film align?
I was just going to ask the same question. Mm-hmm. I would say they're monsters.
They are little monsters.
Yeah.
And there is a mask. A tiny bit. The part where the car... I didn't remember that part until
but
you said it.
It's not the iconic.
No, it's not.
I would say they're monsters.
I would say they're total monsters. But do you think Debbie has mommy issues?
Oh,
Debbie's mommy has issues.
Right.
We know that.
Yeah.
So this poor woman, she loses her husband, and then she loses her grown-up daughter. And at the end of the movie, she's going to, like, therapy. And at the end of the movie, it's kind of the big climax, and... They're trying to get Joyce and Timmy. They're trying to kill them because they're the ones who actually know something's wrong. But for some reason, they don't think Debbie's part of it. So they agree to go to Debbie's house so Debbie can be babysat. And basically, Curtis and Steven come in and try to kill them. And they basically try to lock them in the house and just go after them with the bow and arrow, with the gun. They have a gun, which is so scary.
Yeah.
And all this stuff. But they don't think it's Debbie until Debbie has to attack them to help Curtis and Steven. But somehow Debbie gets out of the house, and her mom like pulls up right at that moment, right when the cops are being called, because I think Timmy left the house and called the cops, and they're coming. She goes, "Mommy, Mommy, Curtis did something really, really bad, and I'm going to get blamed for it." And the mom sees all the ambulances and the cops pull up to the house, mm-hmm. and she just backs up the car and gets out of there. And I think at that point, she had lost everything, that right. she wasn't willing to lose her daughter.
Now, can you blame her?
I mean, I don't know. I hope I'm never in that state of mind, but her daughter clearly did something bad. But I don't know if she knows to what extent her daughter did. And I don't think she wants to know.
I don't think so. Yeah.
I don't think she thinks her daughter had anything to do with her husband's death or her daughter's death.
No. I mean, I think her daughter made it clear to her that it was the other two boys mm-hmm. and that she didn't have any part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, there's an interesting part where her sister Beverly finds a scrapbook, and it's basically like, it's a serial killer 101, right? She has a scrapbook of all these newspaper clippings of the deceased, these recently deceased people that they killed, and the sister finds it, and she goes, "You know, what's the matter with you? That's really gross." And she's like, "I'm going to tell mom," and she tells mom, and that's when Debbie goes, "No, it's Curtis's book. It's his book. He made it." She goes, "Well, I don't want you hanging out with Curtis ever again." And end of story. And that's when Debbie decides, "Oh, I'm going to kill my sister." And she does.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The old bow and arrow, right?
The old bow and arrow. Yeah. So she was charging the neighborhood kids 25 cents. She made a little peephole in her closet that goes to her sister's to see her undress. So it was just crazy. It was, yeah. There was so much going on in this film.
Yep.
Yeah, it was very bad. So I would say they're monsters.
Yeah, I would
little
too.
Monsters.
Yep, definitely. Any other questions?
You know, that was it, but I think now you can go through the rubric.
I just have one last question. Ooh. And I might add this in. This might be a new thing that I ask at the end.
Whoa, okay.
Of every review we do. Is there anything that you would have changed about the movie?
That's a good question. Ooh, that's a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
What would I have changed?
And usually I would say if it's hard to think of something, yeah. then the film must have been well. Because some movies that we review, I'd be like, "Oh, I know exactly what I would have changed."
So one thing I'm going to say, and I wouldn't change it, it frustrated the hell out of me that nobody believed Joyce. Like, Curtis's
Well, her little brother did.
He did because he saw, right. I mean, because Curtis tried to kill him.
Yep.
But this film frustrated me. In the best ways, where I was like, "Oh, nobody believes her," and "Oh, how do people not see that these little shits are doing this stuff?"
Mm-hmm.
And I was so nervous about the dog getting killed. I was so nervous about those people being poisoned because they were little kids. They were yep. little kids who were just shoveling the cake inside their mouth, and it was just like horrifying. You know what? No, because at the end too, I was ticked. So Debbie gets away at the end, mm-hmm. as we mentioned, and her mom decide to start a new life. Which makes sense because they were going to do the sequel. They opened it up to a sequel.
Yep.
And that part, I was like, "Oh, come on." But at the same time, I'm like, I think that's really good. Would I have loved the ending for all three kids to get in jail? Yeah, but that wouldn't have been a good ending.
Right.
It would have been too cut and dry.
Right. So, yeah. Well, plus they wanted to leave it open for a sequel.
No, I wouldn't change it either. I was just going to say the having Joyce and her brother, be alone. I think that added to it because they were constantly unprotected. You think when your parents are there, you're safe. And it did actually add to the suspense. Another thing, I guess I will ask you, what do you think about the whole... So Joyce is studying astronomy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why she's so... Because she's going to be a reporter. So I don't know why that was the big thing. And there's this whole thing. Remember, her teacher likes her. But it's very small. It's a very small detail. Neri's like, "Can I get you a Coke?" And she's like, "Yeah, I gotta go pick up my
father." Oh, yeah, I forgot about that part.
I think it was just, there could have been deleted scenes. I don't know why they did that. It doesn't matter. But the whole astronomy argument is what, so the solar eclipse and everything, that's what they explain of, hey, this is why these kids have no empathy. I wonder if that was even, well, I guess that was necessary because the three kids, it happened to three of them. Why these three? I have no idea. Actually, before we even watched the movie, for some reason, I got it in my head that they were triplets. These kids look nothing alike.
No,
except
not
Debbie kind of looks like Steven. It's only because they're blonde. But Curtis looks nothing like them.
Mm-mm.
And for the longest time, I kept saying to Josh, I was like, I don't understand. Why is Curtis outside of her house banging on the window? Like, did he get out of his bedroom? And then you're like, no, they're not siblings. And I finally got in my head, oh my God, they're not siblings. They just were affected by this solar eclipse. So,
right. I think the meaning behind that was just to remind us that these kids are this way because of what happened. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was supposed to be any more significant than that, than just to remind the watcher.
Do you think it was necessary? Or do you think, yes, it was absolutely necessary to kind of have a tiny, even if it, you don't have to have that much of a backstory to explain right. what's going on.
Yep.
Do you think it added to it? Like you said, would you have changed anything? Would you have changed that? I don't know. To me, it's just kind of a quick fix to explain.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know if they really needed that.
I know. I almost would have been fine if they just said, I don't know why these kids are messed up, but they found each other.
Yep.
And they're sick.
You know, so if there's one thing I was going to change, that's what I was going to bring up. I was going to say, I don't know if they needed the whole beginning of the solar eclipse and these kids being born at the same time. I don't know if they needed that.
I know, because some people are born without empathy.
Yeah.
So I just don't think it was that necessary. I mean, I don't think it took away from the story, but they kept going back to Joyce saying, oh, okay, you're a Scorpio, so you should be experiencing this and that should be your behavior. And there's one part where she's hanging out with Timmy in the living room, and she's reading off people's horoscopes, and she says, now who's that?
Mm-hmm.
People in their neighborhood, and then he has to guess who they are based off their personality traits according to their horoscope.
Right.
So, I mean, it's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
But then she ends up saying, I'm not going to go to school for this, I'm going to be a reporter. So it kind of falls flat, and then I'm like, I don't even know if it was necessary. But
yeah.
I don't think it took but anything
I don't
away.
Think it took
know.
Anything away yeah. from it, to be honest. Like, they didn't just, overdo it.
Yeah.
It was...
But to me, it opens up the argument of why were they the only three affected by this solar eclipse?
Sure, yeah. Yep.
So, that's my only statement on that.
Yeah. But other than that, I probably wouldn't change anything.
I don't think so either.
Honest.
I think it was really good. Very underrated.
Right. Yep, very underrated. Okay, so you want to do our rating here?
Yeah. I'm going to try.
So what do we
so
do?
This
do
our
we,
first time.
Do I go down this list and then we just give it a 1 through 10 number?
I think we do, and I think we look at the average.
Okay. So so the first rating will be the opening title.
To me, I don't remember it, so to me that means
yeah, nothing. I don't remember it either, actually.
I remember opening titles to Blood Rage. I remember opening titles to Friday the 13th.
Okay, now let me...
I remember those titles.
And now let me comment on this. How many times have you seen Blood Rage and how many times have you seen Friday the 13th?
Okay, I got to think of a movie where I've seen once in their opening title. You know,
yeah, give me a name.
But don't forget, Friday the 13th always has the thing flowing to you.
Well, I know, but I've seen it a dozen times. We've seen this movie
once. Well,
do you
even remember... All right.
I don't. No, I don't remember. We'll have to watch it again. I don't remember what the opening title is.
But to me, if it didn't stick, it's just an opening title. It's not.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so Halloween. I know we've seen that a million times, but it's the pumpkin.
I know, but we've seen it a hundred times.
But I'm trying to give you examples, though, of very different openings.
Sure.
Where
yeah.
you are remember that they're iconic openings. I wouldn't say this one had one.
So what do you want to rate it?
I would say maybe zero or... I don't remember
a
it.
Zero?
Or you say not applicable.
Okay.
Because you don't have to have a kick-ass opening. I think the opening scene was crazy with the couple at the cemetery.
Yeah.
But
I think you should have a good opening title. I mean, that means you actually hired an editor or designer to do something. To me, that's important, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. But, okay, so next.
I will say, we just saw Killer Workout. And it had a great music for the beginning where it was, remember we just started dancing as soon as it started and we were like, oh,
yeah,
this is so 80s.
But I don't really
so
remember
awesome.
The title.
I don't remember the title, but I remember the very beginning when it started. So
yeah,
that's, I'm just trying to give an example of, I do remember being present in the opening scene.
Oh, there's some movies with some good opening titles.
Yeah.
Ones that are iconic for it, like Silent Night, Deadly Night. I mean,
yes. And it's got, that's got a good sound because it's like,
right.
it's like a very abrupt
so,
sound.
Yeah, we'll say non-applicable for this one.
I would say non-applicable.
Because I don't really remember it.
Yep.
Okay, so the script, the creativity, the characters, does it fit the genre?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think some characters were better than others. Again, I keep bringing up Curtis, but I just have not seen a kid like that in a while that just played such a good serial killer.
So how would you rate that?
Oh, gosh. Well... I mean, I think they played so well into the 80s movies we've seen. Like Beverly was just, you know, rock and roll, wanting to have sex with her boyfriend, listening to, you know what I mean? Like, she to me was like that epitome of like that teenager who does not care, is having sex, doing drugs.
Yep.
So she fit well into that versus her best friend, who's the complete opposite. Joyce is taking her studies very seriously. She's trusted by everybody in the neighborhood to watch their kids. So to me, it had those tropes of those 80s movies that you kind of know and love. And I thought Timmy did an excellent job. I mean, most of the cast was kids, and I think they really did a fantastic job.
So I think here's an easy way to, because it's going to be really hard to do numbers on all these, because I don't know how you would rate that 1 through 10.
Mm-hmm.
What if we went through all of these and it's either yes, it was good at mm-hmm. it, or mm-hmm. no, it was bad.
I love it.
And then at the end, I'll tally the yeses and the noes, and that will help with the overall
score. Okay, I like that.
You know what I mean? Good job. So the opening title, I'm going to say a no.
No.
Because we don't remember it.
Not at all.
Script, I'm going to say a yes.
Yes. Get to hear Josh typing away at his Mac.
Okay, performances?
I'd say yes.
I would also say yes.
Yes, exclamation point.
Yeah, that was good.
It was good.
Camera skills?
Nothing to call home. Nothing to call
mom
about.
I'm going to say no because it didn't.
Nah.
I mean, because again, there are movies like, think of like John Carpenter and Halloween. Camera skills, I would say absolutely.
I was just going to say, too, Friday the 13th, we're getting Jason's perspective.
Right. But
just like our lovable Ronald.
Yep.
There was different camera angles.
So let's say that's a no.
Nope.
Okay, sound skills.
Don't remember anything about the sound.
Yeah, I don't either.
Like I just said, Killer Workout, I remember. I was singing along to those songs. They were so horrible.
So do you want to consider that sound / like music soundtrack?
Yeah, because,
okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that's important.
So we'll just consider sound and music and soundtrack the same thing.
I mean, so many movies we talk about the sound, like the Thanksgiving one we just watched.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Blood Rage. Okay. Editing skills.
I mean, I don't think there were holes in the movie. That's how I'm looking at editing. Was
so did it have editing skills then?
I would say yes.
Yeah.
I think it was a complete story.
It's not like it was...
The only holes I have are where the hell were their parents? But other than that, I did not think anything was wrong with the editing. Maybe the dog died, but if that's an editing mistake, I'm thankful for it. So, but yes.
Okay. Okay. How are the kill scenes?
Okay, so we've got, let's think, the dad at the beginning, the couple in the beginning with the shovel, and then they get buried, the dad who gets hit by a bat, the teacher who gets shot, which is scary.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so funny, like you think in horror movies it's going to be them with a knife and an axe and a bat. She gets shot with a gun and it's horrifying.
Yeah.
So I would say really good kill scenes, yes.
Yeah, I would too.
They didn't have to be gory to be scary. That's what I liked about them. Like, obviously, the frosting didn't kill anybody, but, ooh, that would have been a very terrifying kill.
Definitely good kill scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. Because there's some movies, again, they don't have good kill scenes.
No, they don't. Or they cut. They always cut those
scenes.
Yeah,
they cut them.
As soon
yep.
as the killer's about to, like, hit somebody with an axe, they cut that scene.
Yep. Okay, how suspenseful or horrific is the film?
I would say this one is up there.
Yeah, that's a yes for sure.
I was on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, it was too.
Yeah.
I mean, again, there wasn't really any dull moment.
No. It just, yep, it started and never
how
stopped.
Scary is the killer or killers?
This one's... This,
I'd say pretty scary,
This has a lot of yeses across the board.
Yep. If there is a backstory, does it hold up?
I don't think so.
No.
I think it's a dumb backstory.
Yeah, I agree.
In anything, like we said, it begs more questions than it answers.
Mm-hmm. How's the end scene?
So the end scene,
good?
We say that that's Debbie heading off somewhere in Texas with her mom?
Or that would be the end
that
scene,
would be
yes.
End? Okay. Because I'd say the scene before it where Curtis and Steven get caught and get put in the cop car, I was so satisfied with that scene. I was like, yes, they finally got what it was
coming
to them.
Yeah, I consider the end scene, so when you think of like, I don't know, we keep bringing it up, but we love Halloween. So the end of number one, the end scene is a 12 out of 10 because...
You talk about the first one when he...
The first one, oh yeah.
When he looks over and no one's
and
there.
And no one's there.
Yeah, I like that
That's
too.
A great end scene and then it cuts.
Yep.
So yes, so the end scene for this would be the last part with Debbie.
I think it's dumb. I'm always, you know what it is? I like a good sequel, but I almost hate when they purposely make it so we could do one. Like,
what would you have done different though?
I don't know, because I guess, okay, what it is I get, so Debbie kills like a guy who's working on a car, mm-hmm. or something. I don't know who he is, but basically you find
like out
a mechanic. That's who it was. And she tells her mom, because her mom says Beth, and she goes, mm-hmm. what's your name? And it's Beth Simpson or something. And she's like, yep. And she's like, basically they're going to start new. She's going to start under a new identity. And Debbie tells her, don't worry, mommy, I'm going to be a good girl. Mm-hmm. And her mom just looks so tired and just, I actually feel bad for the mom, but she's doing the wrong thing, but I feel bad for her. And I guess it was a good idea. I don't know. It just didn't leave me like, oh, good. I was so satisfied when Curtis got in. Here's what I like about it. Curtis not only gets in the car, he looks at Joyce and smiles. It is not bothering him at all. Yep. He probably knows he's going to get out because he's not going to get, you know, charged as an adult. He's so young. He'll be out by the time he's 18.
Plus, he might also be thinking, hey, like, Debbie's out.
Now, wouldn't that have been an interesting sequel? Curtis at 18 coming back to get
that
Joyce.
That would have been amazing.
I think that would have been better than Debbie. Debbie, I don't know. Debbie's not that interesting of a character to me. I think, again, we keep bringing up Curtis like a broken record, but this was quite an interesting character.
But I would say the end scene is still good, though, because we just talked about those things. Like, there's some movies that have no end scene at all. Mm-hmm. So I got to say, it's decent, you know?
I'd say no. So give it a half.
Okay.
Just like a point. No, a decimal. Because you know how sometimes we rate films and it gets a point?
Yeah, that's true.
So I would do that.
So 0.5 there.
Yeah. I didn't like it.
Okay. And then actually the next one will kind of break the point. Would you recommend this film to other horror movie buffs to watch?
100%.
Yes.
If you have not seen this movie, it's on Amazon Prime. Watch it.
Yep. Okay, so after all those, we have 7.5 yeses and 4.5 no's.
Ooh.
So the way that I think a rating would go is, and this is just, you let me know if you don't think this works, but as far as the yeses go, that should be around the number of a 1 through 10.
Yes.
Of what you think the movie is. Like, say the yeses were like 5.5, then the movie's probably about between a 5 and a 6 out of 10.
Right. So you're saying it's a 7 out of 10?
I would say... Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
No, but I
think that's actually a good way to do it.
I think that works because it was... I mean, I'd highly recommend this movie to someone who hasn't seen it.
If we do 7.5 plus 4.5, that's more than 10, though, unfortunately.
So do you... I got a question for you. Do you take out my 5?
That's 12. So we might have to just take off, like, a category or something. I don't know. But regardless, so you would say it's a 7, then?
I kind of think almost the first way you had it was perfect.
Okay.
Because, like, I think if it's not going to have good characters, if it's not going to have a good script, the scale is going to go way down.
Right, exactly.
I think that would you recommend it to someone is a big deal.
And I would say, so, I mean, 7's a, I would say 7's a pretty solid movie. Now, I would say getting between 1 and 5 is really easy. It's a pretty crappy movie.
Mm-hmm.
5 to 7 is more like... Okay, like, it's actually a good movie to watch. A little bit harder to rate, though. And then I would say as you get beyond 7, between 7 and 10, it's really, you got to get really, like, nitpicky about things mm-hmm. to get that high up.
Yes.
So, like, say this had better camera skills, or say it had a killer soundtrack, and say
this
it had
interesting
really good
saying.
Things like that, yes. then that's what ups the 7 closer to a 10.
And this is what explains to me why we both think that Halloween 2 is a 10.
Right.
If you actually look at that list, it hits every check mark.
It does.
Yeah.
I mean, Halloween 1 hits a lot of them as well.
Oh, sure. That's when we'll have to talk about the difference between 1 and 2 and why we think 2 is better. It's just slightly better.
Well, I mean, I think some of these categories will...
Actually, 1 doesn't have the origin story. 2 does.
True. So that would be
that's a good reason. Oh, I like this.
And also, I don't know, personally, as far as kill scenes go, obviously they're still good in 1, but if you had to say which one had better kill scenes, totally 2, you know? So like,
no, definitely.
You know, like, 1 is good for kill scenes, but 2 is definitely better. So yeah, things like that is what kind of separates them. And how scary is the right. killer? I mean, again, they're both scary, but if you had to pick what Michael you'd want to run away from, I feel like it's the second one.
We're going to have to do an episode on it because there's so much to talk about with that one. But I agree with you. But I think I
he's like... just like, he's unstoppable in the second one, I guess. I guess that'd be why, because he keeps getting up.
Yep.
Like a zombie. Okay. So good. I think that wraps up this week's episode. This is episode 5, and we just reviewed Bloody Birthday from 1981, and we rated it a 7 out of 10.
Yes, and I agree with that.
I do as well. So yeah, that was fun. Thank you for listeners, and you know, please...
appreciate the
support. Yeah, we appreciate the support.
Please share, let your friends know, and please leave us comments on our Instagram. So we can know what other movies you want us to review. Also, if you're like, hey guys, I absolutely hate when you do this, let us know so we can fix it. And hopefully any reviews we got about, hey, you guys have a really messed up way of rating movies, hopefully this fixes it. We realize we'll need some type of scale to go off of. So, but thank you for listening. We got to go pick up our little puppy from daycare now. But we appreciate it. We're looking forward to watching a horror film tonight. And we wish you all a very good night.
Yep. Cheers.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast, Monsters, Masks, and Mommy Issues. Be sure to check out our website at monstersmasksandmommyissues.com.
Please subscribe and listen to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts, and make sure to leave a review.
Tune in next time for another film review, and if you have a film that you'd like us to review, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Monsters, Masks, and Mommy Issues, and leave us a comment.
And if you noticed that your slice of cake has extra red frosting, chew carefully and pay no attention to the three kids snickering in the corner.